Praise the Lord. Have you ever in your life heard a thunder from close by? So in a rainy, stormy night, when the thunder comes, how many of you heard it? It is rare in Oman, but we are all from different parts of the world. So you might have heard the thunder. Were you scared when you heard the thunder? Yes. A big S came. Thank you for that one. Right. In Job chapter 26, Job, answering to Bildad, he was explaining about God's power. And then he explains one by one by one about all the wonders of the creation, how God conducts this world in his by his magnificent power. Whether the seas or the heavens or everything, because we don't have time, I'm not going through one by one verse. But at the end, Job says one thing. After completing all his praise to God, he says one thing in Job chapter 26 verse 14. Let's all open Job chapter 26 verse 14. And these are but the outer fringe of his works. How faint the whisper we hear of him. Who then can understand the thunder of his power? So, when Job understood the magnificence of this universe in all its creation and how God extraordinarily conducts the affairs of this universe, he concludes by saying that one, all that I'm explained just now is but a whisper. In comparison to God's power, which is like a thunder. So you need to understand, when I asked you, when you heard thunder, you said you were all scared. Right? If I whisper in your ears, will you get scared? No. Now compare the whisper with the thunder. So that's the power of God which we see with our own eyes and understand from this universe compared to the eternal, infinite power of God which is incomprehensible to you and me. I trust you all understood that one. Yes. So that's the power of God. And Jeremiah 32 verse 17 says, Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. So Jeremiah concludes saying that one, it is God who made, again he talks about the visible universe. You have created the heavens and earth because that's all what we can comprehend. Am I right? Any human being, we can only comprehend what we can see. In that itself, we see God's power as magnificent, incomparable, incomprehensible. And that's why, with this comparison, Jeremiah is saying, Lord, nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing is too hard for you. That's what we sing. Nothing is too difficult for you. And we go to the third scripture. Matthew chapter 19 verse 25. Please follow me. You have to be very closely following me today for the next 30 minutes. In Matthew chapter 19 verse 25, when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? What was the context? A rich man came to Jesus Christ and he said, how can I get eternal life? Jesus Christ should go and sell all your property, all your belongings and come and follow me. That rich man became sad and left Jesus Christ. Then Jesus said, it is easy for a camel to go through the eye of the needle, but it is hard for the rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Then disciples got confused. What is this? If Jesus is telling rich man cannot enter God. In all the world, everyone has some or other money. If nobody is willing to surrender their money, who will enter the eternal kingdom? So they ask this question, who then can be saved, Lord? You are putting such a strict restriction. Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So here another scriptural truth which we all know, which we sing, all things are possible. Nothing is too difficult for you. So now we are understanding the capacity and the ability of God sovereign. But when Jesus Christ said this, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible, in which context the Lord is saying? Because just now the rich man left Jesus Christ without surrendering to Jesus Christ for what Jesus has said for him to go and sell all his possession and believe in Christ to be saved. He said, no, I will not do. Then the disciples said, who then can be saved? Jesus said, only by my death, burial and resurrection, with what I am going to do, eternal life for men will be possible. And this can happen only because it's possible with God alone. So, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Again, stay tuned with me. Don't come to a conclusion right now. Now, we have seen three verses here. One, the magnificent power of God, which Job has explained, saying it's infinite power. What I see and comprehend is nothing but just a little of God's power. It is like a drop in the ocean. It's like a whisper, but in reality or in the infinite power, if I can understand, it is like a thunder, which is incomprehensible. So which is God is all powerful. Then we know that nothing is too difficult for God and all things are possible. Jesus Christ himself said that one. But we need to understand this truth in three steps. The truth that all things are possible to God, we must understand in three steps. Number one, when God said all things are possible, when God is all powerful, nothing is difficult for him, we must at the same time understand that there are some things which are impossible for God to do. There are certain things which are impossible for God to do because God cannot do anything which is unworthy of himself, which are against the perfections of his nature. So God can do everything what he wills, which means when God wills something, he will do it. God can do it. But God cannot do certain things which he will not will it. You understood? If God doesn't will it, God will not do it. Also, I said, there are certain things which are impossible for God to do it, which are, God cannot love sin. Do you all agree? Because this is contrary to his holiness. God cannot violate his word because it is the denial of his truth. God cannot punish an innocent because that is contrary to his goodness. God cannot cherish an impenitent sinner because that is an injury to his justice. Not only that, this is very beautiful. God cannot forget what is done in this world because that is a disgrace to his omniscience. Oh, because Adam and Eve sinned, let me forget what they have done. Can he do that one? He can never do that one because God is omniscient. From eternity to eternity, when God knows everything, God can never forget. So when we see these negation words, which means God cannot, now a question will come. Just now we said that all things are possible to God. There is nothing too difficult for God. And God is all powerful. Then where is this coming? That God cannot lie. God cannot sin. God cannot die. You know that? God cannot vanish himself. God cannot say, I dissolve myself. Because he is life himself. He is holiness himself. He is power himself. Which means, all these things what we have just understood, they are not part of the power. They are not the definition of the power. Definition of the power is not to do anything and everything. For God to be able to do unjust things and sins is a weakness. Is an imperfection. Did you understand now? For God to be able to sin, to be able to be unjust, to be able to lie, to be able to perish by himself is a weakness, it's not a power. So the power is not the definition what you and me learn from our dictionaries. The definition of power is what we learn from the nature of God. So now, the first step is that we eliminated all those things which are not part of the power of God. So when God is all-powerful, we said that these things does not even belong to the power. They are all weaknesses. So all things are possible has certain boundaries which we need to understand how God operates. What is his nature? That's why we worship for who he is. That's number one. Number two. Now again, when God said all things are possible, God is talking about his absolute power. When we talk about an absolute power, it is a limitless power. So this power is the essence of God, which means God has this power in himself. It is not outside of him. Like holiness is intrinsic to God, power is also his nature embedded in him. We don't see power outside of God, which means God is able to do all possible things. What are the impossible things? We have just listed. So now you must understand that category. If you eliminate that one, now all possible things are possible. Is it not true? So apart from those things which we listed out, which are impossible for God to do, rest everything God is able to do. This is called absolute power of God. But however, will God do anything and everything according to his power? No. This is where we understand how God's power is exercised. Right? If I have a power, I exercise my power to do certain things. We understand by our own creation by God. So, God's power is guided by God's wisdom and God's will. Let's open Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Let's all open Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. I will repeat it. As I told you, it's a little bit complex. We need to slowly follow what we are studying today. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So we see the three words. Number one, God works all things, but according to the counsel of his will. So there is a counsel, there is a will. What is counsel? Counsel is nothing but it is the wisdom of God which directs all things, through which God wills all things, and through the both, God exercises his power to work all things. That's the scripture. Paul has mentioned very clearly. everything what we are in the Lord, the salvation, the redemption plan of the Lord, is that power which is working in us, which is exercised by God according to His divine counsel and His will. Which means there is an absolute power of God which God can do anything. He is able to do everything, because that is what everyone must understand and believe, that His limitless power which He is able to do. But there, the third step is important, which we are moving now, that is His power in exercise. Isaiah 46 verse 10, the Bible says, in Isaiah 46 verse 10, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. In NKJV, I will do all my pleasure. Now do you see? His God's doing of work is directed by God's infinite wisdom and His will, which is according to His wisdom. That's why when we said there are all impossible things, those are because of the nature of the holiness of God. There are certain things which are not called as power, they are in fact called as weakness. So we should not, if somebody questions you, you said God, it is possible for God to do all things. Can He lie? Mention that one. It is not power. To lie is a weakness. To be unjust is a weakness. To deceive is a weakness. And God never does thing because He is all powerful. Now you see that comprehensiveness of the power of God. So we should not include those impossibilities in the power. And in this absolute power, God said, I will only ordain what my will is. Which means we have the absolute power of God, but also we have the ordinate power of God. Which means what He ordained. Because that's what will come to pass. God can do everything, but God will not do everything. Do you understand? God can do everything, but God will not do everything. God could have created the universe in a moment. But God took 6 days to create everything. Why is it? Is it His incapacity that He can't do it in a split second? That's where we see the wisdom of God and His will, that He had determined that He will create the man as such as you in exactly 6 days, all directed by God's wisdom. And God's power enabled it, which means the work of God happened only according to God's will and God's wisdom. That's what we read in Ephesians chapter 1 as well as Isaiah chapter 46. He does what pleases Him. He works out all things according to His counsel and His will. We often flow past these words of God's wisdom and counsel and understanding and His will. But when we stop and think about it, this is how God conducts His affairs. That's why we worship our God for who He is, an all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient God, a holy God. Now, who understood this ordinate power of God? As I told you, absolute power of God, that God can do anything and everything, can do, but He will not do. That's why He did not stop Adam from sinning. He did not stop Lucifer from sinning. He could have stopped. He has absolute power to stop Lucifer from sinning. God had absolute power to stop Adam and Eve from sinning. God had absolute power from stopping Judas to betray Him as well. Is it not true? But He did not do it. All what God did is according to His infinite, glorious wisdom and His will. Who who understood this? Do you know who understood this? When Jesus Christ, when he came as a man for us, it is our Lord who knew this, who understood this by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all through his life, Jesus exemplified his understanding of the greatness of God. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 26, verse 52 to 54. Matthew chapter 26, 52 to 54. Just before this verse, Peter took out his sword and then removed the ear of Malchus, because the soldiers have come to arrest his beloved Jesus Christ. He's so angry, Peter. Then Jesus said, verse 52, "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" Now you're getting it, right? So please follow the sequence from where we started. Jesus is telling Peter, do you think that if I have asked my Father, would he not able to send 12 legions of angels to rescue me from these mere soldiers? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way? Here, Jesus Christ, our Lord himself, as an example and model, he's telling that our God is all-powerful, yet God will do which he ordains, which pleases him, which is according to his will. God's will is that I should die for the humankind to be saved from eternal judgment. How then, if I physically be saved from these soldiers, will God's will be happening? So God, will he do that one? Is it possible for God to send 12 legions? Yes. Will he send 12 legions? No. Let's move ahead. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Pay close attention to each word Jesus is praying. The Lord is telling, "My Father, if it is possible." Why this word possible has come? Because there are two possibilities there. One, all possible things are possible with God. Our second step, impossibilities, we removed it. But in his absolute power, all possible things are possible. In that possible things, removing the cup of Jesus is one. But now Jesus is asking God, if it is in your ordained possibility, would you be able to remove this cup from me? Are you able to understand what I'm saying? Not in his absolute possibility. Jesus already knows it is absolutely possible for God to remove cup. But Jesus also knows that it is his will that Christ should drink from this cup. But Jesus have this desire not to be separated from his Father. In his agony, Lord Jesus Christ is asking his Father, in your ordained possible power, is it possible for you to remove this cup from me? And then he says his submission, "Yet not my will, Lord. Yet not as I will, but as you will." So what is overtaking the possibility? God's will overrides all possibilities. That's why when all things are possible, it has got a specific definition. There is a domain There are boundaries in which God said all things are possible. We need to understand from the whole counsel of God. From His nature, we understand this. John chapter 4, verse 34. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. As I told you, it is Jesus Christ who understands it fully. The power of God and God's absolute power and God's ordinate power. That's why Jesus is telling, everything what you will, Lord, I am here to do it. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Let's move to a few other scriptures which substantiates all what we are studying. John chapter 5 verse 30. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but Him who sent me. So that's where Jesus said, I am depriving all my power and knowledge and everything. I fully submit to Father who has perfect will for my coming to you. And then when I listen to Him, I will please God. I will not please myself. If I try my own, I might ask Jesus to remove, I might ask Father to remove the cup. Forcibly. Is it not possible? What, Jesus said that one, right? If it is possible. But immediately He went into submission. Yet not my will. John chapter 6 verse 38 to 40. We are concluding another 8 minutes. John chapter 6 verse 38 to 40. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those whom He has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up at the last day. So that the very reason I came from heaven is to do the will of my Father. And Jesus explains that will. This is the greatest will of God. Apart from this, there is no greater will of God. All other what God wills are according to this will. Or due to this will. Right? As this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those who He has given me, but raise them up at the last day. So salvation is the greatest will of God for you and me. We often seek the will of God. What is the will of God for me? Have you ever understood that the greatest will of God for you is first salvation? That's why Jesus spent all His life with submission to God the Father to fulfill that great will of God. He deprived Himself of all His power and everything so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus submitted to God's will and then accomplished for what He was sent for. So now, often we understand this all things are possible in a very different way when we look from human side. Because we don't differentiate. Now in this all things possible for me, all my wishes will come there in the list. All my whims and fancies will be there in that list. Because I never differentiated what is really God's definition of all power, all possibilities. That's why when I pray or when I submit to God my prayers, Lord, because You said all things are possible, do this for me. Do this for me. Do this for me. And God says, son, daughter, have you asked me according to my will? Do you all remember what sister has concluded, Sister Ayan, in her testimony? The words. Second part, last when she concluded her testimony. Don't underestimate the power of God, which is for you if you live according to the will of God. That was the exact statement Sister has said. This is what God is asking you and me. My son, my daughter, have you asked me according to my will? You might say, Jesus, you only said, ask anything in my name, I will give it to you. Because we are all good in scriptures. We bring those scriptures which is easy for us to go back to God. Let's open 1 John chapter 5 verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Yes, when Jesus said that, if you ask anything in my name, my Father will do it. Jesus meant that it's your duty to understand God's will and then pray according to it. It's not that Jesus missed out those words. Jesus did not forget those words. That's why he sent his word, his comprehensive word, whole counsel of God. When we study, when we understand, we know, we now understand that I must live according to God's will. I must know God's will for me, and I must pray according to God's will. Why do so many Christians in this world struggle for no reason? They say, I have faith. I know all the faith scriptures. I have all of them in my statuses, in my WhatsApp, in my mobile, in my walls, everywhere, all those scriptures with whom, through which I put my faith in God. It's very good. But God is saying, God is asking us, is your faith on the right object? Which means, did you understand the whole counsel of God when you are exercising your faith, when you are saying, God, you can do all things? Do you really understand what my nature is? That's the question God is asking all of us. So I'm concluding. So we have studied the word thus far. I have a few questions for all of us. So have we asked our Heavenly Father, Father, what is your will for me as an individual? Because first of all, we are all individuals. We are the Son of God, and we are the daughter of God, individually. So have we put an effort to know what is God's will for me individually? What is your will for us as a wife and husband in our marriage? Did we ask God? Because God has joined you as wife and husband, all couples I'm talking about. So is it not our duty and responsibility to go back to God and ask him, what is your will for our marriage? Not a specific rhema, it's already given. There is no separate will for each couple. What I'm saying is there is an ordained will of God for every marriage, which is already there in the word of God. But have we understood that will of God? Is all our marriages according to the word of God? Open question. Are all our individual lives according to the will of God and the word of God? An open question. Not targeting anybody. All of us are in the same place, right? What is your will for us as a family? For me to parent my children? Lord has been reminding us, your family altars. Twice I have heard in the last 2 weeks, the Lord has reminded, Yesterday in intercession prayer, Lord has reminded. In our men's vigil night, Lord is reminding us, where are your family altars? Where is my will in your family? Or are you brushing aside all those things and continuing in this fast-paced life and still living on only those words of the promises that God can do everything for me, anything for me? All things are possible for my God. It is so sweet to hear. But for that power, ordinate power to be manifested in your life, you must be aligned with the will of God, with the word of God. So what is your will for me, for the work, for our livelihood? So every man has to ask this one. Am I doing what I'm supposed to do as a man? Am I feeding my family as I'm supposed to, as the head of the family? This is the will of God. So when we don't align with the will of God, generically, I'm not even talking about the specific areas where God speaks to us. I'm talking about the whole will of God for all of us. And many Christians derail from this will of God and struggle their life. God has not called us for to struggle in this world for unnecessary reasons. If you struggle, if you suffer, you must suffer as a Christian. Is it not true? Yes. So what is your will for me as a citizen in the society and towards governing authorities? So again, it is another responsibility. We are living in a world wherein God has given certain responsibilities for us to behave godly way in this world. I cannot say I am a believer and behave in an ungodly way apart from God's will in this world and yet say, God, fulfill all my desires. All things are possible. That word we have never understood in right way. So I'm concluding now. The rich man was unwilling to surrender his riches. But today the Lord is not asking your money, but are you willing to surrender all those areas and decisions you made which are against the will of God? So it's a time for amendment. I don't know, each of your lives, as I told you, there are many roles you play in your life. You know, each of those roles, which area have you departed from the word of God and the will of God? Because of that, the Lord's hand is not able to reach you. Isaiah 59 says that when the Lord's arm is not short to reach you, but what is stopping is something because of you, it's not me. Please don't blame God. So God's perfection is always there. We have to go and align with God's perfection. If I stand here and God's perfection is there and I ask, we ask amiss. So there's an opportunity for all of you to come forward. Men of God are there. So this is an opportunity for all of us to retrospect, introspect. Where are we failing? So are we aligned with the word of God? If not, please use this next 10 minutes. I request all pastors, council members to please come forward. I request choir to come forward and minister us with a song.